Good morning. The reading this morning is from John 17, verses 1 through 11. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they still are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one."
Well, good morning. Good morning. So good for Kathleen and I to be back again to share a morning with you. I hope you're well. And I hope God is doing a good job of looking after you. Would anyone dare to say he's not? Sometimes it feels like he isn't. I hope you're in good you're in good shape with those feelings that come from time to time, where you dare to think something other than what God is up to. We're human; it happens. I want to direct your attention to this prayer, to this meeting that we see occurring between Jesus and his Father that he graciously allowed us to overhear. There's actually nothing in this passage where anybody in Scripture is talking to us. We're just eavesdropping today. We're listening to a conversation between two other persons. And there are some big things going on there. Well, talking about big things, have you ever longed to be in the room when big bosses at Encana or Husky Oil have been making decisions about something? Do you ever wonder what goes on in those meetings? I do. Things like, who will they fire? Who will they lay off? Who will they protect? Who will they save for some purpose? Or maybe you would like to know what TransCanada Pipelines is up to for how they will get this Keystone XL pipeline thing through. How are they going to do that? What do they talk about? Somebody's got a plan in the back room. The big boys are trying to figure that out. What do they say about their hopes for success? What have they said about their success so far? How do they rate themselves? How do they think they're doing according to the original plan? What do they say to each other in the back room? Who will they depend on in the future? Or do you ever wonder what went on at Google head office when they acquired YouTube, which was in itself a pretty huge corporation just a few years ago? YouTube belongs to Google now, in case you didn't know that. How did they decide to do that? What was their reason for doing that? How did they plan to do it? How did they pull that off? Because it seems to have gone rather smoothly. They did not make a mess of it. Somehow it went through nicely. Well, so what goes on in those high-level meetings? What do they spend their time talking about? Do you realize that John 17 contains details of the most high-powered meeting that has ever occurred in the universe, literally in the history of the world and beyond? The two biggest persons we know of were having a meeting. And Jesus arranged for us to overhear this meeting. There has never been, in my opinion, a bigger meeting. We read it. We read the transcript. We read the minutes of the meeting this morning. And the future of the church, the future of mankind, is being talked about. Your future is being talked about in this meeting. It's a remarkable conversation, and it's remarkably clear. Jesus is reviewing his goals and his accomplishments. He starts by saying that the pinnacle of his Father's plan has been reached, and he is about to return home because he has completed his work. Now, he's speaking a little bit bigger picture than just in that moment that he is talking, because he has not yet gone to the cross. In the next chapter, he gets arrested. So we can understand that this conversation he's having with his Father, he has packaged his whole life on earth and is presenting it as the completed plan, and he does complete the plan, but he's speaking of it as a package here in this prayer. He tells us he completed the task. Well, what was his task? We can review it. It was just read for us in verses 2 to 4. It was to honor his Father. It was to make him known on the earth. And it was to enable the internal relationship that his Father desires to have with his created beings, with you and I. With the disciples then, with you and I now. That enabling culminated in the sacrificial death of Jesus on the cross. That was a necessary piece that crowned this plan. But why did he do that? It was to enable his Father's desire to have a relationship with you, with nothing in between to hold you back. And in verse 4, he confirms the work has been completed. He delivered his Father's message, and the message was received with clarity and with certainty. We can pick out different verses from the Gospels to show how the disciples finally did understand and receive and recognize that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. He says he has it finished. He's delivered that message. It precipitated a host of changes for the history of the world, and we are part of those changes. But that's, Jesus is speaking about how did it begin, and what did he do to accomplish what the Father wanted. If you want some details, you can see them in verses 5 to 9. The disciples were the first object of Jesus' intention. This is important for you to realize. I am hoping that if I'm talking to people today who have been discouraged because life seems to have gone sideways, or I've been caught in a back eddy somewhere, or things are crumbling, or things are stuck, or things look bleak. Jesus is telling us in this meeting with his Father that you are a central part of his plan. His followers are a central part of his plan and of this conversation. the disciples were the object of this conversation and of Jesus' intention, and they successfully heard, they understood, and they believed. It was not an afterthought of Jesus to include disciples. He came for the purpose of collecting his Father's followers, those whom the Father had given him. It wasn't a sideline thing he picked up along the way. You're not an afterthought. You're not an along the way idea. Well, what else was on the agenda? If we move on to verses 11 and 12, you see that the disciples, and we'll be careful here not just to think in terms of the 12, but all followers of Jesus, were to be protected. We see Jesus conferring with his Father to continue protecting their eternal future, even as he is no longer on the earth. I asked for the reading to stop at verse 11 so that we would emphasize unity. There's a little more to this chapter, but in verses 11 and 12, the highlight... Can you read that okay? I made that a bit too small, maybe. The highlight is unity. Jesus is working for his Father to make sure that the oneness that his Father wants to enjoy with you will happen. And he puts himself to work to that end. And so I don't want us to miss that very big emphasis on unity. This, I think, is the mind-blowing truth that's in this meeting. That the greatest meeting of all time is focused on what? It's focused on inviting and protecting you to be one with Almighty God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Is that not amazing? That Jesus, the person who spun stars off of his fingertips, is looking for you, who wants to walk again in the garden with you the way he did with Adam and Eve. I have a hard time getting my mind around that. Am I that important? Am I that special? Yes, you are. And we serve a God, we know a God who loves us freely and shares his privilege with us. He has the privilege of a relationship with his Heavenly Father, and he says, would you like to join me in that? Would you be my brother? Would you be my sister? I'm inviting you. I will protect that opportunity for you. We can have that together. I mean, I search for ways just to feel the emotional impact of the truth of this. It's like somebody inviting me to read a great-grandfather's will that got discovered, and I find out I've been left $1 billion in 14 sections somewhere, you know? I mean, like how big is this? This is big. And that's what he's talking about. Well, if we read on, we get a little bit more of the agenda. In verses 13 to 15, we find out that he wants believers to have maximum joy. That's in verse 13. And maximum protection, that would be in verse 15. We find out that it's not just okay for us to get along. He wants us to have the absolute fullness of closeness, of intimacy with him, and he wants nothing less. And he provides nothing less. In terms of protection, he doesn't just want to give you a helping hand. He wants the protection to be effective and certain. And the protection that he and his Father are talking about here is not just about avoiding a few potholes here and there. It's about anything that could ruin you, including the devil himself. And he's referred to here. That nobody, including the devil himself, can steal you from the Heavenly Father's plan to be at one with you. Big stuff. You're included in big stuff. And then in verses 18 and 19, the third part of that piece of the agenda is we discover that, oh, we are commissioned as well. When we have received the word and understood the word and believed the word of Jesus Christ and made ourselves available to him and accepted his gift of salvation and forgiveness of sins, we find out that now we become the next link in the chain, and it's our turn to have a job to do and to be successful doing it. And to do it clearly, to do it well, as Jesus did his. Jesus is arranging for that in this meeting. He is talking with his Heavenly Father about how will we make our family successful? How will we make our followers successful? How will we protect them to the end? Fantastic. And then that moves the conversation to the last item in the agenda. We'll find it in verses 24 to 26, and we didn't read that, so let's read that now. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. The last item on the agenda is a comment about his desire that those others who receive the message from him or through us as representatives of him will also be united intimately with the Lord Jesus Christ and his Father because they believe, because they hear and receive and believe. His desire is that unbelievers would become believers. The bottom line is clear in this meeting. And I tell you, I don't know how many meetings you've been in, but after a while, you long for clarity and definitiveness. Every leader desires that the point of the meeting can be accomplished and it can be clearly disseminated and actively undertaken. All of the planning, all of the movement, all of the effort successfully culminate in the grand objective. And what is the grand objective here? To know Christ and his righteous Father. Why? So we will internalize and enjoy the great love that Jesus' Father has for us. That Jesus himself would live in us. So I want to ask you this morning, do you see yourself represented in this meeting? Has life gone in such a way that you forgot that you were being talked about and eternity was being planned with you in mind? Are you one of the fortunate ones who will be loved and protected for eternity? You are if you've heard the message and believe. Jesus is not praying for the world here. He's praying for those who have believed that the Father gave him. He is praying for those who have heard and believed. I hope that's all of you. Are you one of the unbelievers who as yet has not said yes to God, but whom God also loves? And whom God is waiting for to receive and believe. Would you like the personal protection and commitment that you can see in this meeting in John 17 that's being given out to family? Would you like to be part of the family? Then I invite you to believe. And if you do, you will have the honor of working with Jesus to invite others to know him. Overhearing the meeting, I think, becomes the greatest opportunity you could ever have. Now, you may have walked through a different door to this meeting and discovered God's opportunity to receive eternal life and forgiveness, through a different door that led you to Jesus and the Father. When I say a different door, I want to be careful because we understand from our scriptures that Jesus is the only way by which we can meet or be forgiven and accepted by the Heavenly Father. There is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. John 17 meeting is one way that we can know these things. And so I ask, will you hear and believe if you have not? Not everyone does. The renowned scientist Michael Faraday, on his deathbed, he was lying on the brink of death, and his wife asked him, had he ever given much thought to what occupation God would give him in the next life? And this was his answer: I shall be with Christ, and that is enough. He was being asked some details he didn't have. He hadn't been in that meeting. And we haven't been in that meeting yet either. It's coming. But he was satisfied to let God be in charge of that. God was looking after him, and he had accepted that. He had chosen to believe. Some choose not to believe. Joan Crawford, one of the most spectacular movie actresses of her time, contracted cancer around the age of 70. And she had quite a painful illness and end. She was bedridden for years, and she had refused to seek medical help for herself. There were two nurses caring for her in the last days, and on a particular day they realized that she was slipping away. And they offered a soft prayer for her by her bedside. And she saw them pray. And here's what she uttered: don't you dare ask God to help me. And she breathed her last without God. Some choose not to believe. Other people try not to make the decision. They try to distract themselves or laugh it off. James Donald French was one of those persons. As he was being strapped into the electric chair to be executed for a murder he had committed, he hollered these words to the press who had gathered to witness: "Hey, fellas, how about this for a headline for tomorrow's paper? French fries." But we can laugh. I'm sure he would invite us to laugh with him. We see the humor in it. And then we can also realize that there's a sadness in it. He was so disappointed in what his life had been that he just tried to make a joke of it. He tried to laugh it off. And I have to tell you that that's a very popular strategy. Many people are laughing off the failures in their life, the laughing is to minimize the pain. The laughing is to distract from the disappointment and the hurt of not connecting with something that they recognize as important and valuable, and it didn't happen. And he was one of those guys. Many defeated souls are so overwhelmed by life's troubles, they treat life like a joke, and as a result, they miss God's redemption. My question this morning for you is, how will you handle the greatest opportunity of your life? How are you handling it? How are you handling this meeting? It's about sensing the moment, and it's about using an opportunity well. I have a clip for you from Chaplain Derek Moore, who is chaplain of the football team, the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. Can we roll that?
It has truly been an honor to know each and every one of you by name. And the privilege that I have is that I know you by name. I know your heart. I know what makes you cry. I know what makes you happy. And that is an incredible responsibility. And it is a privilege to serve you. It is. I thank God every day for the opportunity to get in my car and drive down to the Georgia Institute of Technology. Not because of brick and mortar, but because of flesh and blood. And I want you to know something. The Georgia Tech football team is about flesh and blood. It's about a heartbeat that beats strong. It's about a passion that is unyielding. And I want you men to know today is your hour. It is your time. It is your moment. Go take it. Go do what you've been prepared to do. In the words of my middle school coach again, don't fight. You can't fight no more.
Right.
You can't fight no more. You don't lie down and bleed a while. We gonna get up and fight some more. Don't you say it with me, repeat it after me when I say it. We gonna fight?
We gonna fight.
You can't fight no more.
You can't fight no more.
Gonna lie down.
Gonna lie down.
Bleed a while.
Bleed a while.
Don't get up.
I'm gonna get up.
Fight some more.
Fight some more.
Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thy is the kingdom, power, and glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let me tell you something. Best team,
game day!
Let's go, boys.
Woo!
There's some passion, hey? You recognize the moment. You recognize that those young men had a moment. Jesus, our chaplain, considers it an honor to serve you. He's God, we are not, and He is serving us, and He considers it an honor. He knows you by name. He knows your heart. He knows what makes you cry. He knows what gives you joy. He's laid down His life to bring you fullness of joy. And He has specifically out loud let you hear His arrangements with His Father that those sacrifices of His would be honored, would be followed, would be completed. So that you would join Him in unity and completeness of joy. We see in John 17 that Jesus recognized His hour. He stepped up and embraced it. And He passed along the message for you and for me to recognize that we've got an hour. If we have met Him in this hour, I thank God today that you can say that. If you have not made that moment with Jesus Christ to settle eternity, I encourage you to do it today. And then there will be other moments that follow where you step up and you serve. Be ready for them. Take them. God has big plans that are centered on you, and you are part of the next step in the plan. In the hustle and the bustle and the struggles of daily life, we can forget where we're going or why we're here, what's happening around us. Don't let that happen. I urge you to reverse Joan Crawford's last words. Don't you dare allow this meeting we overheard from Jesus and His Father to fall on deaf ears or to fade from your hearing. Let's pray. Father, it was such an additional, special privilege that you would let us hear you speak with your Father this way. And to know that there is no pretense, there's no show, there's no program for other people. You're simply talking about the very gritty, central core reason for why did you come to this earth and what you planned to do and how you successfully completed the plan. And your Father is overjoyed with your work. And we are so grateful, so thankful, that it gives us the opportunity to walk with you as brothers and sisters and to have unity with you, to enjoy your mind and heart and to be one with you and to have the protection of your Father as our Heavenly Father as well. Thank you for all of that, Father. Would you remember us in our need? Would you help us to step up to the plate when there is a moment, when there is something big you're asking from us? And then we probably need to have our minds changed about what is a big moment. There are many moments when you are wanting to change other people's lives through what we do and what we say. And it doesn't look like a big moment, but it is. Help us to know that. Help us to see those times. Help us to live our lives so that every moment can be a big moment in your timetable and in your plan. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.